Hi everyone, my name is Junji and I'm from Toronto. Today I'm going to present our joint work with my colleague Sahi and my supervisor Aya Dulara. So the general idea about this work is to optimize system testing with the technique that we use is VMFork. So in most software companies, we use software testing to make sure that our product or our systems conform with certain specifications. And if your system passed the test, then you can have some confidence that it meets the quality standard. But the problem is when your system gets really large and complex, and sometimes testing it can be really hard. The difficulty is in two aspects. First, you have to set up the test environments. You need to install the drivers, certain type of certain versions of libraries, other packages, stuff like that. So this is first. And second is executing some tests can take really long time. So I have one experience of executing the MySQL test. I hit the test run button and I went to bed, woke up in the morning, and the test still running. And it just looks like hand in there. So it would be nice if we can have shorten the test execution time with some technique, and also we can reduce CPU cycles and the memory resource management requirement also. So to do that, let's revisit the concept of system testing first. So imagine this system as a bucket. Each test is considered a certain type of steps. So each step exercises some kind of states of the system. It's donated here in an illustration with a green segment here. So the second step, exercises certain states, another layer of the bucket. And the third step is that when you've done a bunch of steps and the test finished, you compare it with the specification. If it's the same as expected, then you say the test is passed. So this is one test. For the next test, because the system is polluted at this moment, you probably need to tear it down. So it's a clean out actions. So this is another action that you need to do, and you run the second tab step by step and so on. And then when you finish, you compare it with the specification. So this is the scenario that we have multiple test cases. So the existing state of art is to run each test sequentially. So step, test by test. Between each test, you probably need to clean up some, test state just in order, to avoid the pollution. So that's one of the problems that why, some tests take really long time. For example, the MySQL test suite that I mentioned before can take up to 8 hours, and other OS test suites can take, up to 1 day or, more than 1 day to run. So this is the existing way. You just hit and wait to finish. Recently, there's a trend that we call testing on the cloud. So using the cloud to using the cloud to run it in parallel. One of the very simple way to do that is to I just instantiate each test. I instantiate a VM. So you run it and. Since HVM is an isolated quantity and it's well encapsulated, it can run in parallel so that you don't have to wait for each test, so it's more responsive. You just one test finish, you just discard the VM and that's it. There's no cleanup actions to do. So it's nice. I mean, the problem with that is it's resources consuming. Because each VM is a large entity, it takes gigabytes of footprint, and also as you can see, among these different tests, there can be some commonalities. That's what I'm next to talk about. So we make these observations on the commonalities among the tests. So as you can see, in this illustrated example. The test 1, 2, 3, they all share the same first step, which is denoted by the green segments. So the implication of that is each time you run a new test, you instantiate a new VM, you have to re-execute those common steps again, which I think it's a waste. So the green segment can take really long. For example, in the MySQL test cases, it can be in constructing a table that is with a trillion rows. So this step can be really long, and we think that this step can be avoided so that it doesn't get re-executed again. So that's the basic idea. And the second observation is, since you all exercise the test on the same system that you want to test, so the system, when you run it on VNs, the system can share a lot of states because they use the same code base. So to leverage this sharing opportunities, we have the we think that VM4 can come to our rescue. So before I move on to the solution, let me introduce briefly what VM4 does. VM4 is basically a system level forking. So it's compared with the existing process fork, which is we're all familiar with the Unix process fork. VM4 is forking a VN on the fly, so it's a system fork. When you have a VN running on the local hypervisor, you just hit the VM fork, and then it will instantiate another VN instance that is identical to the parent. So the clone here is inherits all the states of the parent. So and it can take very short time to set it up and running. So it can be done really fast. And also it can fork locally. Okay, so can be, instantiate another VN that in the remote host, which can realize this elasticity or more utilize the resources in a remote host. So the VM fork, the nice entity quality about this VM fork is, first, it can be really fast. In one of our prototypes that we are in our lab, it's called Snowflog, it can only take 600 milliseconds to start a new VM that is identical to this one already running VM. So it can be really fast. The second nice thing about that is it inherits all the state. So you basically, once you have a VM running, you can have another, very quickly, another VN that has the same state as the parent VN. So that's where the nice entity can be utilized in system testing. So with the test execution, as I mentioned before, there are many common steps among the test cases. So in our model, execution model, when the system here is denoted by a gray bucket here. So when you execute the first step of the test, you somehow instantiate another VN that with a ready state of the system. So this is what VM fork does. So after you do that, you execute two test cases at the runtime at the same time. The two tests can be run different steps. And when you found out that there are another test that share the same state with the steps with the first step, you fork again, basically. So that's how the execution model does. So basically, you leverage the results of the common steps. You fork there, and then to avoid re-executing the steps again. So that's the savings. So we use these common steps and save the memory and disk state. We will show how much we can save in our experiment later. So we did a preliminary case study with MySQL database system. So we sampled four very simple tests from the large test suite. So just large test suite can take, as I mentioned, can take 8 hours to run. So we just take a few tests. There are more than quite a few hundreds or thousands of tests there. We just sample four of them. The four tests just exercise very simple database operations. For example, construct a table, insert some rows, and the second step you delete some rows. The final you insert it. And after you've done other steps, you just see whether it passed or not. And that's test 2, 3, 4 are the same thing. So the common steps are, we mark it manually. So we did a manually parsing the SQL script, and we parse it manually. We mark it With the different steps here. In practice, it's really common that the common steps, they all is written in a centralized script. So they all, each task just include as a single script. And this is a standard practice. And also another like a unit test, you have like a setup method that you do the first setup step. Here, I just listed as the step one. So to run such test suites with our execution model, so the first step is you instantiate a VN, and you configure the VN, install the MySQL on it, and then the libraries on it. So that's the first step. The second step is you run the first step of the test that they share, so which is to construct a new table, and then you fork three VNs here. And so each VM will execute the next step. So you see that test 3 and test 4 is done. And then the since test 1 and test 2 all share the same second step, you fork another time, fork again, and then it gets done. So the savings here is, as I mentioned, you don't have to re-execute the green and the orange segment again. So that's the saving that we're talking about there. So here we fork twice. So as you can see, one is here, and the second one is in the test one and test two. To run this experiment, here's our setup. We run it on a server, x86, 12 gigabyte RAM, and so Ubuntu. So we use KVM snapshot to emulate this fork. So basically, I'm still working on implementing this VM fork system. So we don't have a working system yet. So we just emulated with the KVM snapshot, which you just create another snapshot and you boot another VM from the snapshot. That's how we emulate the VM fork. So this is not a real VM fork that we're using in our experiment. The issue is very slow because booting from a snapshot can take 20 seconds or 30 seconds. So in a real VM fork, it doesn't have to take that long. So that's our experiment setup. So let's see our results, our evaluation results. So we compare it with two execution model. First is, I mentioned, is sequential. You run each test, test by test. Test after test, so test one, test two, test three. So as you can see, since the sequential execution have to execute, the first step, which is denoted by the green segment, again and again. So you can see the green segment appear here four times, which I think it's a waste. And also the second step, which is denoted by the orange segment, appears twice, which is also another, waste. So this is sequential. Sequential can take, in this experiment, can take 1,000 seconds. And imagine you have 1,000 test cases, or more than that, you can take a very long time. That's why the reason why it takes long. And also the second configuration we have is to run it in parallel with the simple parallel method, simple VM. So each test is in one EVM. So it can start, in parallel. So as you can see, so the actual execution time, is limited by the longest test suite. So the total test suite will stop here at around 375, seconds. But as you can see, the green segment still, get repeated, a few times. So that's a waste. So that's the green segment is a waste of CPU cycles and also memories, and also the instantiating the VNs. So this is the two baseline that we compare. So with the VM fork, it looks like this. First, you execute the first step, which is for the test one. And then you did a small snapshot here, which is denoted by the tiny little red segment here. So it's the snapshot cost. So actually, it takes just a few seconds to create a snapshot, which is really fast. And then you in this case it's the snapshot you both from the two snapshots that for the VM3 and VM4. So imagine, I mean, just note that this is not necessary in the real VM4 because we emulated with a snapshot. So we have to count the booting time from the snapshot. So in the real, you know, VM4 system, this is, will not exist. This overhead will not exist. So the next step is you execute this, the next step of the test. And you did another snapshot again, so another tiny green red segment here again. And then you fork again, and then you achieve the final results. So intuitively, you compare these two graphs. You can see that there are some empty. There are not many, you know, repeated green segments happen in the VM fork. So that's the savings of the time, the CPU cycles, and also space. We'll talk about it later. So with the two configurations that we have in the first chart here, the total execution time is, sorry, here is a block in here. So, I should not move it. So it's about, it still takes about 1,000 seconds. So it's 971 seconds to run. Even for the second configuration, you run it in each independent VNs because, you know, the test steps get executed, you know, again and again. And the second that with ours is we only takes 700 seconds. Note that this is a very, very conservative result, and it's only four tests. And if you have 1,000 tests, then the savings can be more dramatic. So this is not absolute, and it's very conservative. And this is the time, CPU cycles. And the second comparison is the space usage. So we compare it with the second, the setting that we have. We use four, so in the second configuration, we use four VNs. So each VN, as I mentioned, is a really large entity. The VN that we use is 20 gigabytes. So you will see that the four VNs will take more than, you know, around 80 gigabytes. Compared with our emulated approach, we only instantiate one VN, only four snapshots, which is copy and write. So each snapshot takes less than 5% of the base VN. So in total, if you sum it up, it's more than 70% of space savings. So that's our preliminary results. So in order to have achieved this VM fork, there's a few challenges that we need to address. So first is the implementation-wise, we need to implement this hierarchical VM fork implementation. So currently, we are working on the Snowflake prototype, and it only supports a single level fork. It's not hierarchical yet, so I'm trying to improve from there. And the second challenge is the decision of when to fork. So the problem is deciding when you have a lot of common steps that you share among test cases, whether you fork at the first step or after second step. So that's basically the decision to fork, to compare with the cost of forking and the cost of re-executing the test step again. And the third challenge is to decide where to fork. So basically it means whether to fork locally or whether to fork remotely. Forking locally means you can utilize the multi-core resources when your local host has lots of resources. Forking remotely means you can utilize, you know, other resources in the remote host. And the last challenge is transparency. So since VM fork is a very low level system, you know, primitive, it's not very realistic to require the testers to modify their test suites to adopt this VM fork. So we envision that we can have a parser tool to dynamically utilize this VM fork, you know, inject the code into the existing test suite, and to do the, you know, dirty work for the testers instead of modifying the existing test suite. So that's the we try to make this VM fork transparent to the testing testers. So to sum up, this work is proposed to leverage this hierarchical VM fork to optimize system tests. And the advantage of doing so is you don't have to re-execute the common steps, just reuse the states again. And also, it can save some memory and space, since you know many of the system that share many memory and shared states. And our preliminary result shows just very conservatively 30% reduction in the VM CPU cycles, and in terms of space, it's 70% in savings. So that's it. Thank you, and happy to take questions.
Hi, Daniel Dean, North Carolina State. Very good talk. I enjoyed it. So I had one question about the test cases, how they're reused. It seems like the assumption is that the test cases are deterministic, meaning that each test case, like when you reuse them, you're not going to have some different like different case, right? Or it's going to like fail with something.
Yeah.
Like there's a random number generator. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
Do you have any thought? Well, first off, is that like an assumption that you have? And if so, do you have any thoughts on how to handle like test cases to apply this kind of technique to test cases that have like non-determinism?
Yeah. So I guess the experiment we have. I mean, our assumption is right now is deterministic. Mm-hmm. So what we have is we take the existing test suites in the existing open source systems. For example, MySQL, they have their own test suite that if you download their source code, they have their test suite there. Mm-hmm. So. So it works well in the deterministic. In terms of the indeterministic test suites, yeah, that's a interesting challenge, and I think we can do it in dynamically, So it's a challenge. So I would say the challenge still remains. I mean. It still needs to be deterministic. Yeah, I'm sorry. What I mean. It needs to be deterministic. Mm-hmm. Somehow, it needs to have a specific. You know ahead the test step ahead. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you how do you know the commonalities among the test steps? So yeah, it needs to be deterministic. Okay. Yeah, I was wrong.
Thank you.
No problem.
Hi, this is Ritesh from VMware. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting talk, and I was just wondering whether you have any thoughts about formalizing the framework between the application testers and the virtual machine management, and whether it can be extended to a formal verification of all possible states that a VM might go through in production. So it sounds like a good way to do exhaustive space search from all the variations that are possible in testing.
Yeah, right? So what we envision is, I'm not quite sure what you're formalizing mean, but what we envision is we have a test framework that testers can utilize there. For example, it's the model like testing as a service. You upload your test suite that, and also your system to the cloud, and then the cloud, the back end, can analyze those test suites and your system for you, and then to execute those for you. We optimize the back end, so in the cloud end, yeah. Thanks.
Can you talk a little bit about the use of process level fork versus system level fork and how that impacts?
That's a good question. So John's question is about why don't we use system fork instead of process fork? So forking the process level has some of its limitations. So for example, if the system that you were test is a multi-process applications, probably it doesn't, you don't have. If you want to run different tests at the same time, you have to you have different application instances running at the same time. And it doesn't work for all the applications. Some applications just, prohibits you from running that. And the other limitation is, there could be some other contention problems between different processes. For example, all the two tests are competing for the same, table, then it could be a problem. So there will be no parallelism, there. Yeah. Thanks.
I have actually a couple other questions.
Sure.
So one of them was when you're doing this, the testing here, we're looking at one VM, so maybe it's a single-tier application.
Yeah.
Have you considered doing testing with multi-tier applications? Because one of the things that I work at VMware and we see a lot of customers that are dealing with developing applications, they have multi-tiered applications. Take the simple case of a processing server with a web front end and a database back end. Dealing with the synchronization of the instruction sets across those can be a little bit challenging. Is that something that this could be extended to support multi-tiered apps?
Yeah, right now only we target the standalone application only. So in terms of the like the distributed system side, I think it's a challenge because we don't have like a forking the whole distributed system at this moment. So I guess it's still, you know, not within our scope.
Well, one follow-up that's related to that is with a number of different vendors, I mean, VMware has this, but there are other vendors that are doing this also. There's the concept of being able to do live migration of, of an actual application or workload. Is that something that you might be able to utilize to help with what you're trying to do with the VM fork? Meaning you capture the system state. That's at the hypervisor level.
Yes.
And then utilize that to create the fork. And then in this case, you could actually use it for a multi-tier to actually stay in sync between the different application processes.
Yeah, that's totally possible. Because right now, in our emulated approach, we just create a snapshot of the VM and then boot it from there. So that's exactly what we're talking about. So, but that has some overheads of booting from the snapshot. That could be some overhead. But I can definitely see the potential of doing that.
I think a lot of the vendors who are working on hypervisors would like to see more in that space because it actually could, it would provide a benefit, I think, to what you're doing and what some of the customers are looking for.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.